The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church on this first Sunday in 2019. Special welcome to visitors who are with us today. Please take a moment, everyone, to sign the pew pads and to pass those along and to help others around you locate them as need be. There are a few announcements in the bulletin today that are especially important. As I have said the last couple of weeks, we are redecorating the Christmas tree this year, the Christmas tree in the fellowship hall, with socks and underwear. And these will be distributed to Carlisle Cares and to Safe Harbor. You can see sizes listed in your bulletin that are specifically needed. And you can bring those in any time during the month of January. Please remember these are clean, new, and in package. I know we laugh at that, but think about that and just remember that's what we need. The January issue of Meeting House News is available in the fellowship hall. That was sent out. So if you haven't received yours yet, you will be soon. It's also available on the website for you to peruse. A special note about annual reports that are due into the church office by Friday, January 18th, in advance of the annual congregational meeting, which will be February 3rd, following Sunday worship. Please make note of that if you have a portion, if you have a part to play in the annual report. Today is Epiphany Sunday. It's also the Sunday when we ordain and install church officers. It's also the day that we celebrate star gifts, and they will be distributed, and you'll hear more about star gifts. If you're not already aware of what star gifts are, you'll be hearing more about them in worship today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it. Please stand as we worship God together. We have seen a star in the east. God is with us. Light has come. We have heard the songs of the angels. God is with us. Love has come. Now we follow the light into the world. God is with us. Christ has come. Thank you. proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, because we are justified by him, we dare to approach God with confidence, praying and confessing our sins together. God of glory, we confess we have foolishly participated in deeds of darkness, giving too little thought to your mission in this world and to the boundless riches of your mystery revealed in Christ Jesus. We have ignored, frustrated, or resisted the unity of the body that he came to establish. We have been slow to intercede for others, and timid in asking for purposes to be fulfilled. Forgive us, O God, and restore us to the mission and the mind of Christ. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. Behold, a new life is begun. Hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. Holy God, giver of all light, lift up our hearts and minds to Christ, who is the bright morning star that never fades. By the light of your Holy Spirit, reveal to us your saving word.
To see the gift that he is for all of us in the world. So when the star gifts go around, I hope each of you get one that touches your heart. Let us pray. Such great gifts you give to us, O Lord. The gift of the Christ is, of course, the most important. Help us to feel and touch and hear and know each moment, each day, that gift is with each one of us. We are thankful for the light of the world. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thanks. Thanks for coming down. And thanks for going to pass out gifts later.
Our lesson for this morning from the Old Testament is Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. And because the abundance of your sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
second lesson for this day of Epiphany comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, the story of the visit of the wise men. Listen again to God's word. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying to them, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The thing that always strikes me about this text in Matthew's gospel that we just heard is how much God talks in it. God speaks and people are warned of danger. Some are called to go to a distant land and then later welcomed home. God speaks in this passage and people respond. This, of course, is not the only place in Scripture where God speaks to his people. That happens frequently and with some regularity, especially in the Old Testament. The power of God's voice is witnessed, for instance, in the beginning, at creation, as God speaks and everything begins to appear, light and dark, day and night, land and water and sky, vegetation and all living things, including the people who are made in God's image. And at the end of that week, God looks around and sees that everything that he has created is good, very good, and God rests. There is power in God's voice. God speaks and people listen. At a great age, Abraham listens to God's voice and packs up and moves to a new land. Moses hears God's voice and returns to Egypt to lead his people to freedom, with a little extra convincing. David hears God's voice spoken through the prophet calling him to be king. Elijah hears that still small voice of God on the mountainside. And here in this text today, wise men and Mary and Joseph all hear God's voice in some way. And if we listen carefully, we too can hear God's voice in our lives today. God speaks first in a bright and shining star in this passage. But it is not totally clear what's going on. The wise men know enough to pack their bags and their camels and head to the west. And when they arrive in Jerusalem, they're looking for a new king. But not even old King Herod can help them find what they're looking for. So Herod takes the only logical step that he can think of. He calls together all the chief priests and the scribes, the Bible scholars, and he asks them, "What's going on? Where is this king of the Jews?" Now the religious leaders, these men, they are steeped in the scriptures, and they immediately know the answer to the question, where is the Son of God to be born? They know this answer. It trips off their tongue. Bethlehem, that's what the prophet Micah tells us. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. God speaks to us in many ways, but it is God speaking to us in and through the scriptures that is the most important and definitive. That's what we believe as Presbyterians. That's why scripture is so centrally important to our faith, because it is how God speaks to us. Yes, we see hints of God's glory in creation, the glory of a sunrise, or if you're like me and prefer a sunset, the majesty of the mountains, the vastness of the oceans. We hear echoes of God's voice and the voices of others, the community of faith gathered together to discern together, to pray together. We also can sense and hear God's voice speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it is primarily through the scriptures that we most clearly hear and receive God's word. Scripture points us to Bethlehem, like it pointed the wise men to Bethlehem. Scripture points us to the cross. Scripture tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Scripture is how God speaks to us, and we are invited to open its pages and to listen, to hear from our Creator. In Matthew's Gospel, God also speaks to the wise men in a dream. After they have come to Bethlehem, after they have presented their eminently impractical baby gifts to Mary and to Jesus, God warns them in a dream to go home by a different way, to not go back to Herod in Jerusalem, because Herod has plans that are not good. God also warns Mary and Joseph in a dream to flee from this land that has been their home before Herod comes to destroy their child. I think sometimes we struggle with understanding how it is that God speaks. I can study scripture. It's hard, it's often demanding and difficult, but I can do it. But God speaks in dreams. God speaks through the voices of other believers. We struggle sometimes, I think, with understanding how God speaks other ways. Does God still speak in those ways? And how is it that I can hear God speaking in this noisy world and in my noisy life? I do believe that God continues to speak to us in a myriad of ways, in nature, in the voices of other believers, maybe even in dreams. But when God speaks to us in such ways, it is never meant to contradict scriptures. Think about it. The wise men see a star and they determine that it means a new king has been born, but they don't know the rest of the story. They don't know where to go. It's only when the scribes and the chief priests, the Bible scholars, it's only when these men crack open the scroll of the prophet Micah that it all comes together, that it all makes sense. We're at the end of the Christmas season, but think back over the Christmas story for a moment, all of the scriptures that are associated with the Christmas story. Every time in Matthew and Luke's gospel that God speaks to Mary or to Joseph by an angel or in a dream, it is to fulfill something that has been written in the scriptures. So it is important for us to measure everything against the words of Scripture. God, you see, is not in the business of contradicting himself. If you believe God is calling you to do something, to go somewhere, measure it against what you read in Scripture. God's call does not, cannot contradict God's word. So if you think God is calling you to have an affair or to steal something or to kill your neighbor, you've misunderstood God's call, deeply and profoundly, I should add, misunderstood God's call. Because Jesus is crystal clear in Scripture. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. God does not contradict himself. God continues to speak to us by calling people to serve and to love one another. Today, as we prepare to ordain and install a new class of deacons and elders, we celebrate a group of men and women who have heard God's voice calling them to service through the voice of this congregation. And as we set them aside to serve, we should all ask ourselves, how is God calling me to serve? What is God asking me to do? What is God calling us to do as a church? If we are attentive, we can see and hear and feel God's presence in our daily lives. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's rather difficult, I'll admit, especially because our lives are so busy and our world is so noisy. But if we take the time, if we focus, if we are attentive, we can experience God's presence. I know that many of you deeply value the tradition of star gifts that started here many years ago. We talked about them a little bit already in worship. For those of you who are new, just a quick refresher. Star gifts are a single word printed on a yellow paper star. You will all receive a star gift today, and for the rest of the year, you're invited to ponder how God is speaking to you, to your life, to your faith, in that one word. Keep it in your Bible, tape it on your fridge. I keep mine in the top drawer of my desk, where I see it every time I open the drawer to get out a post-it note or a pen. I actually have kept all of my star gifts. Maybe some of you have too. I make a note on the back to keep them straight so I know which one goes with which year. And I keep them in a neat little pile in an otherwise kind of messy desk drawer. I was looking at my little pile of stars the other day, remembering what some of those words have meant to me in the past. I look back to my very first star gift, and it was the word care. And I've talked about this before, some of you may remember. When I received that word, I thought I knew exactly what it meant. I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to care for you, the congregation, my people. Makes sense, I guess. It's not all that exciting, but it makes sense. But that year was full of bumps on the road for me. I can laugh at it now, but that year I had kidney stones. I was mugged on Lowther Street. I hit my head and gave myself a concussion and had double vision for 2 months. And through all of that, you, the members of this congregation, you cared for me. You cared for me. You brought me food and you drove me to doctor's appointments and you put up with Bible study lessons that were probably slightly less than coherent because I'd hit my head. By the end of the year, as I was reflecting on that star gift word, I came to realize that care is a two-way street. It's not just a word on a job description, something to bandy about. It's not just me caring for you, it's all of us as God's people caring for one another. It's funny how God works sometimes, isn't it? My favorite star gift, though, has been the word adventure. That's the word I lived with throughout 2018, wondering what exactly adventure would hold for me. When I had the opportunity to travel with the Outreach Foundation again to visit Christians in the Middle East, I thought, there's my adventure. And it was an amazing trip. I'm glad that I got to go visit our brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling to keep the faith in a difficult land. But as I think back over the past year, I keep finding adventure not in some exotic foreign locale, but right here in the midst of our lives together, our lives as pastor and people. As I said earlier, we are going to ordain and install a new class of church officers this morning. And in the Presbyterian Church, everyone who is ordained has to answer the same constitutional questions. Deacons, elders, and pastors, we all have to answer the same questions. I was reviewing those questions this past week and thinking about them, and two of them really stuck out to me, reminding me that serving God is actually the adventure. First question that hit me was, will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? In obedience to Jesus Christ. That's the key phrase. When we are obedient to Jesus, when we are faithful to Him, when we listen to His voice and follow His lead, we discover the adventure of life. Because wherever we go, wherever He takes us, we know that we are with Him. We know that we are experiencing that fullness of life that Jesus talks about in John's Gospel. That's the adventure. The second question that made me stop is this one. Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? It took me back 10 years to my own ordination as a pastor. I remember being terribly intimidated by this question as I was preparing for that day. Pray for people? Yes, I can do that most of the time. But serve with energy and intelligence and imagination and love? Yikes. On my best day, I might get one or two of those things. But all four? Then I remembered that what we do as the church, we do together. We do together as the people of God. We serve together so that no one loses too much energy. We serve together because a bunch of heads are way better than one when you're trying to make an intelligent decision. We serve together because if you depended just on me to come up with something imaginative or creative, it would be a long wait. We serve together because God's love runs through each and every one of us. And together, we can manifest that love to the world. So adventure turns out to be the right word after all. The journey of faith is an adventure. And if that sounds scary to you, like you might want to get off this ride and go check out the Buddhists or just stay home on Sunday morning, just remember, we are all in this together. Loving Jesus, serving God, serving one another. Today we hear God's voice calling us to this table. With wise men and scared young parents, let us respond to God's voice and celebrate the feast. As we prepare our hearts and minds to receive the bread and the cup, let us remember that long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you do speak to us by the gift of your Son. Help us, Lord, to hear and to believe and to be faithful to our Savior Jesus, and to remember that he is with us always in every way. For we pray in his name. Amen. Affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
And together as the people of God, let us pray. Great God, lover of our whole being and your world, in this season, when we remember and celebrate the journey of the wise men who brought gifts to you at your birth, let us ask, what gift can we bring? Let us ask, what words can we say at the joy of finding you? What we know we can bring is our hope for a better world, our renewed commitment to walk the future with you, and our dim understanding that you are found not just in the comfortable places of our lives, but in the dark and dismal places of this world also. O God, we bring to you our tragedies, our shortcomings, our guilt, our frustrations, our desperation, our grief, and our concerns. Concerns about ourselves, worries about our loved ones, and fears about our world. So we ask that you would help us to put those worries at your feet and on your shoulders. We remember your invitation, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." We pray, O Lord, for a world in turmoil. We pray for our representatives and for a resolution to differences in our government and in our people. Replace our nearsighted vision with increased compassion. Remind us every day that we are human and children of God. O Lord, we pray and pray for peace again and again. Bring peace to the nations, peace to the halls of Congress, peace to the rooms of the White House, peace that comes through your justice and mercy. We give thanks for this church community and the privileges of ministry you have bestowed on each of us. Especially we pray today for those who will be ordained and installed into the leadership of our church. Keep each of us faithful to your calling for our church, and keep us centered on the one recognized by those wise men so long ago, and the one recognized here at your table today. We pray in the name of Christ, the greatest gift and teacher, the one who taught his disciples how to pray, praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
At the beginning of each year, we take a moment in worship to set aside those who have been called by God through the voice of this congregation to serve as elected officers, as deacons and elders for the next term in office. I invite those people to come forward to join me here in the front of the church as we ordain and install them. There are varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives those gifts. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through each person in a unique way, but it is God's purpose that is accomplished. To each is given a gift of the Spirit to be used for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ, and individually, members of it. We are all called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. This is our common calling, to be disciples of Jesus Christ and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the church, though, some are called to particular service as deacons, as ruling elders, and as ministers of word and sacrament. Ordination is Christ's gift to the church, assuring that his ministry continues among us. Through ordination, God provides for acts of care and compassion in the world, for the ordering and governance of the church, and for the preaching of the word and the celebration of the sacraments. As God calls some to particular forms of ministry, God calls us all to bear gladly the yoke of Christ given in the covenant of baptism. Let us therefore reaffirm our baptismal vows, renouncing all that opposes God and God's rule, and affirming the faith of the Holy Church. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, you turn from the ways of sin We now have the opportunity and privilege to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us in this life as the offering is received. And we also have the opportunity to receive from God a word for this year as the star gifts are distributed. Together, let us pray. To you, O God of glory, we offer the gifts of our lives
as a way of bearing witness to the gift of your word made flesh. Use the humble things we offer as signs of your grace and truth, so that all may know your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, and then gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. It is not my table or your table or even the church's table. This is the Lord's table. And our Savior invites those who trust in him and who have been baptized to share in this feast, which he has prepared for us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ, in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith, encourage us with hope, inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh, and the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. This morning you will be served in your pews by the elders. Recognizing that we are one body in Christ, please hold the bread until all have been served and we can partake together. Recognizing that we also come to Christ as individuals, please partake of the cup as soon as you receive.
Thank you.
out now into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak and help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God Almighty. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.